Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read from Romans chapter 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed, this last Wednesday was the festival of Epiphany, bringing Christmas to an end. And the gospel lesson for that festival is Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12, the visit of the wise men who were led by the star to the baby boy Jesus in Bethlehem. And for the sake of understanding our sermon text from Romans 12 this morning, I'm going to add some things to the end of verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2, things that are obviously not true. So the verse 11 reads, from Matthew 2, entering the house, the wise men saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So here's that verse again, with an ending that is added that is not true. They worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then they went back to Jerusalem and helped Herod in his plans to murder the Christ child. Here's another one. They worshipped him, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then they went back home and worshipped the false gods of the country from which they came. Another one. They worshipped him, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After leaving this worship setting, they went to a local inn, partied, got drunk, used obscene language, and engaged in promiscuous activity. Another one. They worshipped him, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Upon returning home, they had serious doubts about all this and concluded that their experience was of no more value than anyone else's experience of another religion. And one more, tying it to the gospel lesson for today. They worshipped him, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they remained silent about all that they had seen and heard, not saying a word to their wives or children about this baby being their promised Messiah and Savior. Clearly, these things never happened. And yet, these are ways many do believe and act, including many who call themselves Christians. They have conformed to this age. They are not transformed by the renewing of their minds. They do not consider their bodies to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. But we really have to begin elsewhere in discussing this. We have to begin with the very first phrase of verse 1 of our text in Romans 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies. Viewing God's mercies. Knowing and believing God's mercies. Being motivated and directed by God's mercies. If there is no Holy Spirit-created faith and understanding in God's mercies, there will be no true worship. There will be no spiritual or reasonable service to God. Again, consider the worship of the wise men of Jesus. They knew this child was the true king of the Jews and the true king of the Gentiles because, you know, they themselves were Gentiles. They understood he was the promised Messiah. They knew of his deity. They knew he would somehow conquer the greatest of enemies, sin, death, and the devil. And that is why, contrary to the humiliating circumstances they found this child in, that is why they worshiped him. They worshiped him because of who he was and what he would do for them. In a sense, we have a much greater advantage. We not only know who he was and is, but what he did. We have the details recorded for us in the pages of Holy Scripture. We know this baby is the God of the universe, the creator of all, the sustainer of all. We know this God became a human being, a poor, helpless baby, dependent upon others that he created. We know he traveled to Bethlehem, Judea. He traveled to Egypt, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Galilee, Samaria, Decapolis, and other cities in one final trip to Jerusalem. We know that he lived like no other. He preached like no other. He performed miracles like no other. We know that he was persecuted and rejected by those he came to serve. We know he was falsely charged, put on trial, suffered, died on a cross. And we know that this is how he defeated our greatest enemies, sin, death, and the devil. We know he rose from the dead. We know he ascended and now sits at the right hand as king, right hand of God as king, watching over every step of our lives. We know he's coming again to finally save us, body and soul, to bring us to heaven. What are these other than the mercies of God? We get to view a full picture of Jesus. And this understanding of Jesus, this understanding of the Son of God, are God's mercies. And you know this, or you ought to know this. Jesus Christ is a gift of 100% mercy. Or we could look at it from the perspective of the outline of Romans. St. Paul, first of all, says that those people over there are a bunch of sinners, and then he says those people over there are a bunch of sinners, and then he tells us in chapter 3, hey, we are all a bunch of good-for-nothing, hell-deserving sinners. And at that point, in the middle of chapter 3, St. Paul describes the first mercy of God. He says, but here's a gift for you sinners. It is free. It is undeserved. It is your innocence. It is your justification. It is a declaration that you are not guilty, purchased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it is yours by faith. It is a gift. Mercy. And then a couple chapters later, he says, here's another mercy for you. You have new life. In baptism, you are united with Christ in both his death and his resurrection. You are not the same. You are amazingly changed. Mercy. And this is followed by another mercy. You are safe in your election. Nothing in this life can separate you from God's love and salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. Nothing. So, brothers and sisters, you know these mercies of God. They are right there in your ears. And if by some chance you don't understand them. Now is the time. And that brings us to our text, Romans 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, knowing, believing, grasping the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. To sacrifice ourselves for another means more than just putting somebody else ahead of us, putting him first. It's a dedication. My life, Lord, is dedicated to you. My life is yours, Lord. It is not mine. Take my life, Lord. And that means, according to Paul, our lives are to be holy and pleasing to him. But then Paul refines what he means to live in view of his mercies. He says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As Christians, we have a choice as believers. We can conform to this world, to this age, conform to what the world believes, how it thinks, what it says, how it acts. Or we can go with a different pattern, a different belief system, a different worldview, a godly pattern, a biblical worldview, a Christian understanding of believing, thinking, speaking, and behaving. And there's always these two options before us, always. And so we ought to know the difference. Another interesting thing about this verse is that to be transformed by the renewing of one's mind is a continual and constant process, occurring until the day we die and go to heaven. And the reason for that is because there's always plenty of sin hanging out with us. We cannot shake the old Adam in this life, not to mention the temptations of the world and Satan. To put it another way, we are to live in daily repentance. As we say in the small catechism, baptizing with water means that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and that a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So again, two patterns. One not to conform to, and the other one to pursue in the depths of our mind and understanding. So, to make it a little more clear, here are several examples. When I teach confirmation class, we always spend time on creation versus evolution. Evolution is a pattern of this world, of this age. When we adopt an evolutionary mindset, we are conforming to this age, which can then easily affect our thinking and our behavior in other areas. Evolution basically does away with God. It does away with man being made in the image of God. It does away with morality and sin. And therefore, it does away with the need for a Savior. So I lecture on it, we talk about it, and I give students some good creation science videos to watch. We do not want them to be conformed to evolution, but to have a mind transformed and guided by God's word. Here's another example. When I was at Bethany Lutheran College, back in my student days, I remember very clearly there were two freshmen two doors away from me. And these two guys, they were wild. They were sinfully wild. I'll call them Mike and Daryl. Mike came from a good Lutheran home. Daryl came to Bethany because he was recruited to wrestle at Bethany. And I don't recall any sort of religious background that he had. But neither were interested in living in view of God's mercies. And then one day, toward the end of the second semester, I was present when someone was talking to Daryl about Christ. And a total change came over him. He repented and he believed in Christ. He received God's mercy of forgiveness. He received God's mercy of a new life. And it was quite amazing to watch his transformation over the last weeks of that year. Really amazing. It was not instantaneous, for he still struggled with some of his outrageous sins, but the transformation was clearly taking place. He was being transformed by the renewing of his mind as the Word guided him. Never quite saw the same thing with Mike, but maybe it has occurred by now. And then one more example, and this one is mentioned because it's found in our gospel lesson for today. You have 12-year-old Jesus at the temple learning the Word of God. Even Jesus, because he was made man and under the law, subjected himself to being taught the Word of God. And that is an example for us. We need our children to be taught the Word of God, so we and they do not conform to this world. But in the depths of hearts and minds, that we be transformed by that Word. And this, of course, implies teachers. Teachers. And obviously that means pastors and other Christian teachers, but just as important and more important, our Christian fathers. Fathers need to teach. And if fathers don't, mothers need to step up to the plate. Now, clearly, we don't have a lot of children in our church right now. Maybe someday, by God's grace, we will, but we have children and grandchildren with whom we can share this message. Again, this is what it means to be transformed by the renewing of one's mind, to understand the Word of God and how it applies to all of life, what we believe, what we think, how we speak, how we behave, to be discerning with what's going on in the world around us and to approach it biblically. And finally, let's go back to the why. Why we are to present our bodies as living sacrifices. The wise men found and saw the King of creation in human flesh. And they understood in the depths of their minds and hearts that this was a mercy for them. They found God's ultimate mercy in this child. They worshiped him. And when they left, they were not committed to conforming to this age, but being transformed. They were committed to a renewed mind. The star guided them to that house. But when they left that house, what guided them was the mercy of this Son of God incarnate. Every Sunday, we have placed before us the mercies of God in His Word and Sacrament. May we leave this house of worship, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.